You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you head to the store, you might find a growing number of essentials locked behind plexiglass, from diapers to baby formula, shampoo, even toothpaste. Retail theft and robbery has been rising in California. There, of course, are viral videos of groups rushing into a store, grabbing whatever they can get their hands on, and then hopping into a waiting vehicle. And it doesn't even need to be groups of people. Just the other day, Roseville police say they arrested someone caught with over $2,000 worth of stolen Stanley water tumblers, which recently have become a popular social media craze. In recent years, the state of California has pumped hundreds of millions of dollars to combat retail crime, and some progress has been made. Joining us to talk about the proactive measures they're taking are Placer County District Attorney Morgan Geyer and Sacramento County District Attorney Tin Ho. Welcome to you both. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us on your show.
So I want to start with the big picture. About 2 weeks ago, we had the Public Policy Institute of California on our show talking about the rise in retail theft and robberies. It was a statewide look. And what I took from that conversation is that the increase, if there is one, really depends on the crime that you're talking about and also where you're talking about. So some large counties have experienced a decrease since 2019. Others have seen an increase. I'm curious what each of you are hearing and seeing on the ground in your own counties when it comes to retail theft and robberies. District Attorney Geyer in Placer County, I'll start with you.
Thank you. We have not been immune to organized retail theft. We have large retail establishments and a booming business economy in Placer County, so therefore we're a target as well. And when you talk to business owners, and I think frankly just residents of the community, they are getting tired of it. Whether the numbers are a slight increase or not, the real experience of our business owners is really telling, and I think that is the voices that we listen to and have to react to when confronted with these crimes that are occurring in all of our counties.
District Attorney Ho, how is it in Sac County?
Well, when you look at it in Sacramento County, the National Federation of Retailers noted that Sacramento was number 7th in the country when it comes to retail theft. Additionally, the numbers, and I was just talking to one of the big retailers, they told me that one of their stores, and they asked that the store not be named, but one of the stores saw a 250% increase in retail theft just in 1 year alone.
In
Sacramento County, but it's just not the big businesses and the big retailers. We had a small business, Zanzibar. It's a furniture store over on Broadway. They got hit with a theft of their furniture that totaled about $100,000 in losses. And when you talk about a small business, that has the potential to wipe out the small business. And so this is a real problem that we have in our communities.
When it comes to Sacramento County, just last week, District Attorney Ho, you along with Sheriff Jim Cooper, Police Chief Kathy Lester, and other local leaders, you held a press conference and talked about a new organized retail theft prevention team within the county. Can you explain what this team will do and what's going to be different when, say, compared to last year?
Absolutely. So we started our organized retail theft team, which comprises of an investigator and a prosecutor. And that prosecutor will be handling the case, what we call vertical prosecution. That simply means from beginning to end. So, for example, when a retailer, and I'll just throw out Target, says, hey, we have a top 10 list of repeat offenders, we will work with them, we'll work with the law enforcement agency to identify those individuals, to find those individuals, to prosecute the meaning file charges, and to take them to trial and hold them accountable. So this attorney will handle it from beginning to end, work hand in hand with investigators, with our business community to do that. And in the 2 months that I have established that unit, we've already filed 35 organized retail theft cases.
So you are identifying that there are organized rings that are doing this as opposed to lone actors?
They're both. They're rings, they're lone actors, and there are those that, you know, we had a gentleman who was suffering from addiction and mental health, and he was committing theft over and over again at the Target on Broadway, and we eventually got them in, got them into our program where they were getting treatment and mental health. So it's a combination of rings, individuals, and, you know, lone actors as well.
With this new unit, you're talking about a vertical approach to prosecuting from start to finish. How was it done before? And why wasn't it done that way, keeping the same team from start to finish? Was it just like a staffing or bandwidth issue?
So, for example, my office last year filed 10,000 misdemeanor cases. when you're looking at the pure volume, what will happen is one prosecutor, and I have an entire intake unit of six attorneys. All they do is review cases that come in to make the filing and the charging decision. Then it goes to another attorney that will review it and handle it in the calendar department, the arraignment department when they come to court. Then it goes to a trial attorney. Because of the pure volume, large offices like mine, and we have approximately 180 prosecutors, large offices like mine, Manhattan, offices like Santa Clara and San Diego, we have that model. And there are some units, specialized units, sex units, homicide, gangs, and now ORT, organized retail theft, that have a vertical prosecution model. So it's a hybrid in the office, and we are giving extra and special attention to this.
District Attorney Geyer in Placer County, there is an interesting approach that the county is taking, partnering with businesses. I've seen some signs on some establishments. Can you talk to us about what went into this partnership with some people in the business community?
Certainly, part of our initiative, and we have a similar setup structure-wise with a vertical prosecution unit. But we also realized that we need to harness the voices in our community, our business owners, our residents, policymakers, to really engage them. Because one of the things that we all as prosecutors get frustrated with is that sort of ambivalence, or even worse, that apathy that business owners have that, well, if theft is decriminalized, what's the point of calling the police? Nothing will happen. And once you start to lose the sense of the community's trust with regard to any sort of particular kind of crime, then things don't get reported and you really can't get a handle on them. So we decided we would partner with our business communities. We launched this initiative so that we could empower them as well, not only serve as a warning to would-be thieves who come into our stores, but to get the community to participate. And that's sort of really focused itself with some signs that we have created about this business being protected by the Placer County Retail Theft Initiative. It has the signs and symbols of all of our law enforcement agencies within the county, as well as all of our chambers of commerce. And we have sort of rolled this out to each of our chambers so that they can sort of benefit from this program and be part of it, because we have to get a handle on it on the front end for us to make any sort of difference on the back end, because I know Tin would agree with me here. We're not going to arrest and prosecute our way out of this problem if we don't get it on the front end. I think you've seen all of our offices do those kinds of approaches with fentanyl and other kinds of related things where we have to get on the front end, and that takes the engagement of our community as a requirement in order to be successful.
And essentially, this sign on an establishment of business just says you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and that is a stern warning, but it is just a warning. Have you seen it? Would you say it's effective? Has it been effective?
Well, from the standpoint that we can't keep enough of these signs in our hands without handing them out, we have now to date, and we've launched this a couple of weeks ago, we've handed out over 400 signs. We've had requests for more, which is a good sign. And now we're starting to see them in the businesses. We've had meetings with chambers as recent as last week. And today we've seen signs in those stores. So I think it'll have an impact. If nothing else, it'll have an impact on the people who are our business owners and our community members. And because information is their tool. When crimes occur in their businesses, they need to be able to know that they can call law enforcement, they can report the information, and ultimately a report will be taken, arrest will be made, and cases will be prosecuted.
You mentioned that some people choose not to report a crime or go through the process. I mean, is underreporting a significant issue in your eyes? I mean, I know shoplifting technically is $950 or less, and it can be a lengthy process, very time-consuming as well. Are you seeing businesses not want to go down that route?
We have, and anecdotally across the state, we've seen that occur, the underreporting of crimes, which is difficult when you hear about statistics of crime not increasing or decreasing, knowing that there is that big question mark of that degree of underreporting. And that's part of our initiative is to prevent that so that everyone who is a victim of a crime in our county will report it. But there are some usually larger corporations that factor in the cost of staff having to go to court and all of the additional expenses make it not worth it, which is sad, because when you stop holding people accountable, and I always say accountability comes in different forms. That might be services. That might be jail time. But the minute you stop holding people accountable, you're just putting a stamp of approval on that behavior.
Mm-hmm. District Attorney Ho, do you think underreporting is an issue? Are you seeing this as well? Some businesses just don't want to just go through the effort.
It's a huge problem. I've spoken to some of the retailers and the national retailers. They have policies not to report the theft. Additionally, some of the smaller businesses, whether it be the convenience stores or some smaller clothing store, what we are seeing is there's a frustration there. There's a frustration that why should I go online? Why should I call 911 when my answers aren't going to get responded to? Nobody's coming out. It takes forever to fill out the form and all for a slap on the wrist. And so they feel as if they're unheard. Their voices are not heard. And that's a real problem for us. You know, we need to protect our businesses. We need to protect our small businesses. We need to make sure that they have a voice in our justice system and that they should be heard. And as, District Attorney Geyer said, it starts with accountability. And in order for us to have that accountability, we need to be able to get those reports. And so one of the things my office has done, we have gone out to small businesses and big businesses and had weekly, monthly meetings with them to emphasize with them the need to report it. And we guarantee them if they report it and the facts and evidence are there, we're going to prosecute that case.
I also think about businesses in Sacramento, which is one of the most diverse cities in the country. Are there challenges with language barriers and cultural barriers as well when it comes to reporting a crime?
Absolutely. When you have a lot of small businesses, whether they be restaurants, convenience stores, drive down Stockton Boulevard, for example, Little Saigon down there, or any other part of town. You go further, you'll get into a predominantly Latino community down there. There are concerns with reporting it to law enforcement. There are concerns with, immigration, concerns with them getting in trouble. And that's why my community prosecutors, we have a very robust community prosecution team. We are constantly out there speaking to those businesses, those community members, and outreaching them, saying, look, contact the police, report it. Because if you don't report it, it's as if it didn't happen. And then there will be those that said, well, we don't have a problem here. But in reality, when you're on the streets and you're part of these businesses and part of the community, it's a huge problem.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with both the district attorneys from Placer County and Sacramento County about how they are responding to an uptick in retail theft. Both of you have a very long tenure in law enforcement and as prosecutors. And I believe in California, or at least in the United States, but I think California, like the peak of violent crime, which is a very broad term, was like the 80s and 90s. And then it reached a record low in like 2014. So now here we are a decade later. When honing in on retail theft, I mean, these days, social media, it's very easy to see the worst and to see it a lot and for it to go viral. The level of retail theft that both of you are experiencing in your counties, how does this compare to the other years that you've been a prosecutor and been with the county? DA Geyer?
I think this issue, retail theft, presents itself a little differently. I think the proactive efforts of our law enforcement to be able to provide security services and a presence at our large retail establishments makes a big difference in preventing a lot of those crimes. Things, I mean, the advent of intelligence and real-time crime centers, our ability to obtain information about people as they travel through our county. It's not uncommon for someone to try and steal something from the Galleria, and by the time they hit the county line, they've been arrested because our law enforcement partners are so good at collaborating and sharing intelligence. Unlike ever before, and now that intelligence is real and shareable instantly, I think we are able to prevent more. So I think we're in a much better position than we were historically with other types of crimes that we've seen escalate, simply because we're better at proactively doing it. And I think our ability to be able to work with our law enforcement partners, I think proactively as well. I mean, our units are designed to work with law enforcement to try and identify those rings and dismantle them before they can continue to move into other counties. And I think these units, like Sacramento's and ours, will be successful in dismantling rings and stopping them from going to other places. And I think that's different than a lot of other kind of crime sets we've seen before historically.
Given that your counties border each other, do you collaborate?
Absolutely. We do that all the time. District Attorney Geyer used to work in my office for a period of time, and we were in the same several units together. And so I've known him for a long time. Our offices collaborate together. And I'll give you one such example. There was a woman who had committed a series of theft at a Lululemon in the Bay Area. Well, that individual we were able to track ended up in Sacramento committing theft here, and then, of course, went to the Galleria as well. And so we collaborated on that case as well to make sure that that individual is held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. But there's a lot of collaboration between the local DAs, whether it's Yolo, Placer, San Joaquin as well, a number of our counties. We border each other, and we communicate all the time. Hmm.
This has also bubbled up to the top. I mean, Attorney General Rob Bonta held a press conference earlier this month. And even going back to 2019, Governor Newsom created the Organized Retail Crime Task Force. So this was before the pandemic. So this has been a problem since prior to 2020. And that results in funding to counties. I believe Sacramento and Placer counties, you each are getting over $2 million in response to retail thefts. What does that translate to, getting that funding for people who are victimized by this? How does this benefit those businesses? District Attorney Hill?
A couple different ways. Number one, we were able to dedicate a full-time investigator and a full-time prosecutor to handle the case vertically, as I had mentioned. Additionally, it will allow us to be able to track these cases, track these individuals from one county to the next. It also allows us to go out and work with the businesses to identify those that are repeatedly robbing them, stealing from them. And it will also allow us as well to work with the other agencies, because the money didn't just go to DA's offices. It went to law enforcement agencies as well. So there's a huge task force involving the CHP and all the local agency as well. So one of the things we can do is not go after just the person that walked in the store and stole the item, but the person that they're actually giving it to resell it, to fence it. And so you want to go after the entire ring. And these resources will allow us to do that and to have a real impact. And the message is going to go out to these thieves. Don't come to Sacramento. Don't come to Placer County, because if you do, we're going to hold you to the fullest extent of the law.
How does the funding help Placer County?
I think I agree with everything that District Attorney Ho said. We added a crime analyst as well to try and stay on top of that intelligence and hopefully focus on these large fencing operations. Oftentimes, it's the fencers that dictate what is being stolen. A large fencer will say, here are the products that I'm interested in selling illegally, so thieves go out and bring me these because I'm paying top dollar for these stolen goods. So sometimes that's the dog, and the tail that is wagging are our individual thieves that are out there. So trying to penetrate those rings and dismantle them are key. And the only other point I think where this money really helps is recognizing the interconnectedness of all of these crimes. When we investigate organized retail theft, we uncover human trafficking. We uncover illegal arms sales. When, for example, our Roseville Police Department, just in organized retail theft enforcement at the Roseville Galleria, we uncovered a pound of fentanyl. We uncovered stolen firearms. We uncovered suspects who were wanted in human trafficking, because all of the proceeds to organized retail theft funds other criminal enterprises. And it's not operating in a vacuum. And when you attack organized retail theft in the way we're doing it, we will necessarily uncover other kinds of crimes that we can either prevent or hold people accountable for that pays dividends to our quality of life in our community.
Finally, I just want to stick with the state. Are both of you satisfied with the state's level of support when it comes to curbing this specific type of crime, retail theft? District Attorney Geyer?
The state is a broad term. I am incredibly pleased with the governor's efforts to support organized retail theft. I will be frank, I am disappointed with the legislative's response to the problems that we have, because we don't have enough tools. Prop 47 represented a sort of a one-size-fits-all. And in the criminal justice system—
And that was nearly a decade ago that voters approved.
Exactly. And you can't have a one-size-fits-all. We've repeatedly tried to restore certain elements of accountability legislatively. And it's difficult to do with the way Prop 47 was written, and it's difficult given an appetite in the legislature in any particular year. So I would like to see at the state level, at least in the legislative side, the restoring of a few more tools in our arsenal so that we can be more creative, not just putting people in jail, but that we can hold people accountable and get them into the treatment that they need that we can't get them into because there aren't enough consequences to make that the more attractive alternative. Mm.
District Attorney Ho, how about you?
So I do want to echo District Attorney Geyer's comments. am very pleased with the governor's efforts to provide the funding and create the task force to deal with organized retail theft. And I want to follow up on something he mentioned in regards to changing the law. In order to change the law in regards to retail theft that was sort of set forth in Prop 47, you cannot do it through the legislative process. If you are seeking to increase any increased penalty or punishment for it, you have to go to the voters. So one of the things that I know that we've talked about and other DAs, but also businesses and community members have talked about is when in the past, if you go in and you commit a theft and then you commit a second theft, on that third theft, it becomes a felony, right? A repeat thief, to use that term. And so I would like to see that restored again in terms of the ability to really increase the accountability, not just to put people in prison, but to sometimes use it as a means towards deterrence, but also for those individuals who are stealing to feed their drug habit, let's say. We can use, in a sense, the charge itself to encourage treatment and deal with some of the underlying issues there for those individuals. Now, for the individuals that are working in a retail theft ring, we are going to hold them accountable to the fullest extent of law because they have a true impact on the community when it comes to public safety and not just retail theft.
District Attorney Ho and District Attorney Geyer, thank you for the conversation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And for those who are unfamiliar, Prop 47, which they were talking about, was passed a decade ago in 2014 by voters, and essentially it reduces most offenses, thefts under $950 from felonies to misdemeanors. And we were talking with both the district attorneys from Placer and Sacramento counties, Morgan Geyer and Tin Ho, about what they're doing to combat an uptick in retail theft, shoplifting, as well as organized crime. Still ahead, the primary is just around the corner. It's next month, and a lot of eyes are on the race for Sacramento's next mayor, including the city's youngest residents. We'll learn about the issues that matter most to Sacramento youth. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.